In search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome to another session of our program In Search of Piety. Today, the title of the episode is The Message of Truth. Which message are we referring to and why is this the title of today's episode? Inshallah, I will explain shortly. Before I explain the title of this episode or the accounts related to the title, I want to share with you a saying or statement of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who expressed that a supplication remains veiled until an individual sends blessings in favor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam and his honorable family. So for us, the reminder and lesson is this, that when we send blessings or express a prayer of blessings in favor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, we also mention his honorable family too. And this is why we have the expression, for example, sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. So the alihi being that fulfilling that element of this supplication. And part of our habit in terms of salah or general statements or general supplications of blessings or salawat usually include the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, blessings and peace expressed for him and also his family. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this manner of expressing blessings for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam is accepted in his court. And we, as the Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah, we are people who love the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, and in particular, we have special admiration for the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. For as Imam Razi has mentioned, they are likened, both of them, to the stars and the ark of the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, meaning that if one is aboard the ark but does not follow the navigation of the stars, there is still danger. It is not a case of one or the other, it is a case of a combined admiration for the Sahaba, all the companions radiallahu anhum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his mercy upon them, and in particular the family of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the best of families, the best of lineages, and they have such a beautiful rank, such an excellent rank in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that on the day of judgment, when ties will be severed, the tie of the familial tie of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam shall not be severed. And it was out of this desire to be part of that beautiful family that some of the companions expressed a desire to be married into the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. As far as the message of truth is concerned, the message of truth is obviously the message of Islam, the teachings of Islam, the teachings of the Quran and Sunnah. And this is a general statement or a general title for that. But the reason why this was chosen as a title for today's episode is mainly due to one of the personalities, or the first personality that I would like to mention, Sayyiduna Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala an. Yes, from his name you have guessed his importance or his link to this title. Sayyiduna Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu an was the brother of Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, and he was one of the leading companions who migrated to Abyssinia. In fact, his account is the famous account in the court of the Abyssinian king or the Abyssinian ruler, when a delegation from the Quraysh came, a group of people from Makkah came, disbelievers who wanted to discredit the Muslims or wanted the Abyssinian ruler to pass a judgment regarding the exile of Muslims from Abyssinia. And there was a conversation in the court of Najashi, the Abyssinian king. So I'd like to begin with this particular account. Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala, and who was known for his eloquence, he was known for his humility, he was known for his generosity. And it was only natural, being from the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was only natural for him to be a leading figure in the settlement period of the first migration of the small group of Muslims who went to Abyssinia. The particular account, before I introduce it, I want to mention a trait of tasawwuf. Hafiz Abu Nu'aym quotes the people of tasawwuf that they have said, to turn away from the people, meaning not to have a reliance on the people or not to be overly concerned with the people, and turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the essence of tasawwuf. And this is something which is quite self-explanatory. Meaning the people who walk upon a path of self-purification, their primary concern is to do things that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their search of piety, or in search of piety, their efforts are mainly efforts in worship or actions which please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This does not mean that such people, they have no connection with other people around them, that they sever all ties with family and they go into mountains, or they become secluded completely and they segregate themselves and they have no concern or no interest in what is happening in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't mean this, because the teaching of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to live among the people and to follow his sunnah. Effectively, we have to be living among the people. We can't be people who are completely away from the community and we expect to fulfill the rights of those who have rights over us. This does not mean that we express comments or inappropriate comments about some elite or some extremely pious, exceptionally pious individuals among the awliya who at a certain period in their lives, they chose seclusion. This is not negating that, or this is not opposing that particular phase of devotion for certain believers in the past. This is a general statement that generally speaking, the people who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will live among the people, but their concerns will not be concerns that are materialistic. Their concerns will not be about impressing people. Their concerns will not be about competing with people for matters of this world. Their concern will be about fulfilling rights and the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and following the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Coming back to Sayyiduna Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala, and as I mentioned, a group of Muslims, they migrated to Abyssinia due to the nature of oppression and persecution that the early Muslims were facing in Makkatul Mukarramah. When the Quraysh in Mecca, they discovered that some Muslims had successfully migrated to Abyssinia, they sent some of their representatives to meet Najashi, the Abyssinian king, and in an attempt to convince him to release them or exile the Muslims who had gone there, with this thought or with this argument that they are our people and they have escaped, or they have gone without permission, or they are due to face some kind of judgment or our judicial procedure, something along these lines, or they were going to convince or persuade Najashi that they are deserving or they have right over the captivity of these Muslims as they came from their land, and Najashi should not give them refuge or should not provide settlement for them or protection for them. The representatives sent by the Quraysh were among them the leading figures Amr bin As and Umara bin Walid. When they entered the kingdom of Najashi, the Abyssinian ruler, a very tactical approach or a very clever approach which they adopted, they presented some gifts to the king and to the priests or the monks or the high-ranking officials in the kingdom of Najashi. they also chose their arguments and their words very carefully about why they wanted the Muslims who had migrated to come back to Makkah al-Mukarramah and why they should be exiled from Abyssinia. So when both Amr and Umara, they entered the kingdom of Najashi, the Abyssinian ruler, they prostrated to him. It was a prostration of reverence. It was the custom in his kingdom. They expressed their respect for him. They honored him. They presented their gifts. And their opening statement was that, O King, some people have fled from our land after rejecting or renouncing our religion, and they have taken refuge in your land or in your kingdom. So Najashi said to them, confirmed, is they have come to my kingdom or they have come to my land? And they said, yes. Then the Abyssinian king, he called for the Muslims to be, he summoned the Muslims into his court, or he told the people, the courtiers, to call the Muslims so that he could listen to what they had to say. Being a king, a wise king, he was not one who would listen to one side of a story and pass judgment. He wanted to hear what the Muslims had to say before he passed judgment. When the Muslims realized that they had been summoned by Najashi in his court, Sayyiduna Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala, and he said to the Muslims that, let me do the talking, I will speak. And he was eloquent, he was wise, and he knew that he had to speak or choose his words carefully so that he did not cause any aggravation in the court of the Abyssinian king. And at the same time, he was able to communicate the truth of Islam in the best way. When Sayyiduna Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu an entered the court of Najashi with the other Muslims, the monks had already been informed by Amr and Umara that these people who have left our faith, when they come into the court, they will not prostrate to your king. So when Sayyiduna Ja'far radiallahu an entered the court with the Muslims, the monks and the priests, they gave this instruction and they said, prostrate to our king, meaning show your respect and show your reverence to our king. Sayyiduna Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not comply, and as a result, Najashi questioned him about this, that why he did not express this respect in his court. Answering this, Sayyiduna Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that Allah subhanahu ta'ala sent a messenger to us, and that very messenger is the same messenger about whom Isa alayhi salam gave glad tidings, saying that a messenger would come after me whose name shall be Ahmed. He continued and he said, O King, this messenger has commanded us that we only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we do not associate any partners with him. We pray, we give zakat, and we command the good and we condemn evil. Meaning, this was an answer to Najashi's question, that the fact that we do not prostrate before you is because prostration is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the teaching of our religion. This is the teaching of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. But very wisely, Sayyiduna Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala an did not just mention this point. He took this opportunity to mention some of the teachings of Islam and link it to Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam, also stating that it was the Prophet Isa alayhi salam who mentioned that a messenger would come after him and his name would be Ahmed, and this is the very same messenger that we follow. And other than what he has commanded regarding worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not associating partners with him, we also pray, we give zakat, and we have been commanded to do good and condemn evil. Najashi was impressed with this answer. He liked this answer. And a point to note here, in the religions of the past, the prostration of reverence existed. The prostration of reverence is also mentioned in the account of Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam. But in the Sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether it's a prostration of reverence, respect, or whether it's a prostration of worship, this is prohibited in the religion. A prostration of reverence is haram. And one who prostrates to anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing in that object or that individual as being God, then this takes the person out of the fold of Islam. So the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is very clear regarding prostration. Whether it's reverence or whether it's worship, prostration is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After Sayyiduna Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala and who answered the initial question of Najashi, Amr decided to mention something else which might put the Muslims in a difficult situation. So he said, ask them about the Prophet Isa, or ask them about Jesus, because their belief or their beliefs regarding Isa alayhi salam oppose your beliefs. So then the king, he questioned Sayyiduna Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu about what they believed regarding Sayyiduna Isa, son of Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha wa alayhi salam. Sayyiduna Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has told us regarding Isa alayhi salam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has referred to him as Ruhullah and Kalimatullah, a chosen soul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah created him from the pure Mary, who was not touched by any man. When Najashi heard this, he picked up a stick from the ground, a wooden stick from the ground, and he said to his priests, he said, "O priests and monks, they have said what you say, and they have not ascribed any evil or anything bad to the honorable, the pure Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha." After hearing the statement of Sayyiduna Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Najashi was most impressed, and he declared in the presence of the delegation of the Quraysh, in the presence of Amr and Umara. After this, Najashi expressed his welcome to the Muslims, and he expressed how he believed that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam was the very messenger about whom Sayyiduna Isa alaihi salam had given glad tidings, who was named by him as Ahmed. And he even expressed that were it not for the affairs of his kingdom, he would go to visit the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam and express his devotion to him. On seeing this, Amr and Umara were both deflated, and they realized that their ploy to bring the Muslims with them or to capture the Muslims had failed. In fact, Najashi even gave the command for their gifts to be returned, because he did not want gifts from people who opposed those who shared a common belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and expressed respect for Prophet Isa alayhi salam and declared the purity of the noble Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha. Other traditions describe some other details of this account, that when Sayyiduna Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu was instructed by the Abyssinian king Najashi to recite some verses of the book of the Quran, Sayyiduna Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu wisely, he chose to recite the opening verses of Surah Maryam. And when those verses were recited, the monks and priests who were sitting with their scriptures open in front of them, and Najashi who was sitting on his throne, tears flowed from their eyes. Tears flowed to such an extent that their beards became wet with the tears of emotion that they felt on hearing the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding the purity of Sayyidina Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha and the miraculous birth of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, mentioned in the Quran and recited by Sayyiduna Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In fact, the one narration mentions how Najashi acknowledged and he said, "Indeed, this speech and that which was revealed to Musa, to Moses, Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam, they come from the same light, or they have the same source of light." Meaning he acknowledged the fact that this truth of the Quran is the message of truth. After hearing these verses of the Quran and after witnessing and attesting to the truth of the message of the Quran, Najashi clearly and publicly declared before the Meccan delegation that he would never return or he would never exile the Muslims, and he would never give the Muslims to them and allow this delegation to take the Muslims who had settled in Abyssinia. And this was the failure of that delegation. And part of this was due to the wisdom, the eloquence, the manner of preaching of Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. A lesson for us being that when a representative is to be chosen to represent this faith, to convey the message of this faith in the most sensitive environment or in the most sensitive circumstances, one should choose a person who has knowledge and one who has the ability to speak well and to clarify the teachings of the religion. It should be someone who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the gift of speech. Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu was one who was blessed with knowledge and also blessed with wisdom and eloquence. Not only did he have the knowledge to choose, and not only did he have the knowledge to convey the teachings of Islam, he chose the right words, the right verses, which penetrated the hearts of the monks and the priests, and also the Abyssinian king himself, who accepted the truth of the message of Islam. Crying when hearing the truth is something which is described by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. As mentioned in Surah Ma'idah, verse 83, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تَرَىٰ أَعْيُنَهُمْ تَفِيدُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ مِمَّا عَرَفُوا مِنَ الْحَقِّ. Allah declares that the people who recognize the truth, tears flow, you see the tears flow from their eyes. And this was the situation that Najashi found himself in. This was the spectacle seen by the Muslims, that when the truth was recognized, tears were flowing from the eyes of those who recognized this truth and accepted this truth. Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu was also known for his generosity. And on one occasion, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu expressed, he said that about himself, he said that I never had leavened bread, bread that had risen due to yeast, and I never wore silk. And he, describing his hunger, he said that I would feel my stomach, the pangs of hunger, to such an extent that I would ask a person to recite Quran to me with this thought that due to this interaction, he may take me home and give me something to eat. In this situation, he radiallahu ta'ala anhu describes Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, كان أخير الناس للمسكين. Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the most generous for the destitute people. He would take the poor to his home, give them any food that he had. And he said, if there was no food, the container which contained butter, that was opened, and we would lick that just to alleviate some of that hunger. So this was the generosity of Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Eloquent, brave and generous. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we learn lessons of piety from the example of Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our good intentions. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
In search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety.